So this morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As most of you know, today is a very, very special day. It is the appearance of Srimati Sita Devi Ki. So later on in class, we will touch a little bit about the wonderful pastimes. Time is limited. Today is a bit of a powerhouse of a day. Quite a few things to talk about. It's also the disappearance, is it, of Janavi Mata, appearance of Janavi Mata, who's a great, great devotee in our Gaudiya tradition. And we'll talk a little bit about her. And then we'll talk a little bit about Madhavendra's Puri's continuation of this wonderful pastimes of the Gopal Festival, known as, what's it called? Anakut. Well done, Maharaj. 10 out of 10. So this festival, Gopal, is Anakut festival. One devotee told me, oh, Anakut is my favorite festival. And I said, why is that? Oh, we don't have to fast. So all the other festivals we have to fast for. Anakut is nothing but just taking prasadam from morning till dawn. So there's two verses we'll try and cover today. So I'll read the 78, then we'll all chant 79 together. Aha anubhava kaila madhava goshani tanra tani gopalera lukalukichunai. Translation. How Gopal ate everything while the food remained the same was transcendently perceived by Madhavendra Puri Goswami. Nothing remains a secret to the devotee of the Lord. So this morning's verse 79, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The wonderful festival and installation of Sri Gopalji was arranged in one day. Certainly, all this was accomplished by the potency of Gopal. No one but a devotee can understand this. The Krishna consciousness movement has spread all over the world within a very short time, within 5 years, and mundane people are very much astonished at this. However, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we understand that everything is possible by the grace of Krishna. Why does Krishna have to take 5 years? In 5 days, he can spread his name and fame all over the world like wildfire. Those who have faith in devotion to Krishna can understand that these things happen so wonderfully by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are simply the instruments. In the fierce battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was victorious within 18 days simply because Krishna's grace was on his side. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partha Danur Dara Yatra Srito Vijaya Bhakti Dhruva Nitta Matir Mama Shishirada Goklananda Ki Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Shishigonita Ki. So this is a very famous verse. The translation: wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power and morality. That is my opinion. Bhagavad Gita chapter 18 verse 78. If the preachers in our Krishna consciousness movement are sincere devotees of Krishna, Krishna will always be with them because he is very kind and favorable to all his devotees, just as Arjuna and Krishna were victorious in the battle of Kurukshetra. This Krishna consciousness movement will surely emerge victorious if we but remain sincere devotees of the Lord and serve the Lord accordingly to the advice of the predecessors, the six Goswamis and other devotees of the Lord. As Narottam Das Thakur has stated, Tandera Charana Seva Bhakta Sanevasa Janme Janme Hoila Abhilasa. The Krishna consciousness devotees must always desire to remain in the society of devotees, bhakta sanevasa. They cannot go outside the Krishna consciousness society or the movement. Within the society, we must try to serve the precedestors by preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult and spreading his name and fame all over the world. If we attempt this seriously within the society, it will be successfully done. There is no question of estimating how this will happen in the mundane sense. But without a doubt, it happens by the grace of Krishna. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanan Jnana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militan Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So Cyrus was a little bit surprised to see me sitting here again so quickly. Oh, your turn already. Don't worry, I'm just as surprised to be sitting here as much as you are. So hopefully you won't have to endure much more of my classes, you know. Please forgive me. And I do seek the blessings of the wonderful devotees, Maharaj. And I ask your permission if I can say a few things. On this wonderful occasion, Vancha Kalpa Tubisha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayavacha Patito Na Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So this chapter, it's a very, very enlivening chapter. There's so much to talk today. Again, time is very, very limited. So we have to talk about the purport, which I find it extremely wonderful. We have to talk a little bit about Janavimata, and we have to talk a little bit about Sita Devi. It's a great day for the Vaishnavis here today. Wonderful day for you to remember these great personalities. So we will begin with one interesting word Prabhupada is using here, Maha Utsava. So Utsava means what? Anyone know what Utsava means? Gautama Mahaprabhu? Festival. Everyone likes a festival. Come on, isn't it? Yeah? Kirtans are really, really next level. The deities look exceptionally wonderful. Sita, she looks wonderful. So festival, everyone looks forward to. But when you have a Maha Utsav, that's like next level. So this is this festival here, Gopal, is Maha Utsav. So here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, we're also very, very famous for Maha Utsav. What's the biggest Maha Utsav that everyone always celebrates? Janmashtami. So Christmas. Yeah, Christmas not too bad as well. So yeah, Janmashtami, the wonderful appearance of Shri Krishna Bhagavan. So what's interesting, I wanted to just compare, Gautama Mahaprabhu, how long does it take to prepare the Janmashtami festival? 2 months. 2 months to prepare the wonderful Janmashtami festival. But here, Madhavendra Puri did it in how long? Okay, so maybe you can give this advice to Pranabandhu, yeah? So see if we can do it in 1 day. And this is quite amazing to able to hold a festival spontaneously. Isn't it sometimes when you do anything so spontaneously, it's a really, really amazing feeling. So sometimes when we used to go on Sankirtan, spontaneously we just have a festival, we cook extra, we have a big festival. So here, Madhavendra Puri, he arranged this whole festival, and it wasn't a small festival, let me tell you. It was a big festival. If ever you arrange a festival in India, and if anybody hears about it, boom, 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 like domino effects, everyone hears about it, and everyone comes. I know if anyone's been on Padyatra with Parashuram in Vrindavan, yeah? And in the evening, he just sets up a little project, a little kirtan, and he goes to this village, and you see no one in the village. You've got some masi going with a pot to get some water or something. And then as soon as Parashuram arrives, boom, there's loads and loads of people everywhere. And we had a similar experience when we were in Gujarat. So me, Akhandadi, I don't know if you've seen this picture of all of the devotees, Shruti Dham Prabhu, Pranabandhu, Hari Bhakta, Atmanivedam, excuse me. We were all going to Gujarat. And then as we arrived, then the head of the village, he said, "Oh, the sadhus have arrived." And he says, "Why don't you arrange a festival?" So just that day, we arranged a huge, big festival. We even managed to do a drama. We even managed to like feed hundreds and thousands of people. So they had this kind of a courtyard. And there were so many people. I remember watching it. I was a very, very young devotee, about 18, 19 years old then. And it was very daunting seeing people on the rooftops, people on the balcony, people on top of each other, kids on everyone's shoulders. So when there's the Utsava, everyone gets very, very excited. So this was not to be surprised, as Prabhupada puts it. Whenever there's something wonderful happens, we can be sure it's nothing to do with us. It's not because of our own endeavors. It's because Krishna is behind everything. So Prabhupada in the purport over here is explaining the Krishna consciousness movement is also spreading like wildfire. And some people are a little bit surprised how this is possible. In the Forbes magazine, Srila Prabhupada is described as one of the top 10 persons after 70 being the most successful. After 70. So as we heard yesterday or the day before, Godrima Prabhu was saying, at 70, most people, they just want to retire, put their feet up and, you know, have that pina colada. But not Srila Prabhupada. He was so happy in Vrindavan, he left all that just to benefit humanity. And then because he had such faith, such determination, that he managed to spread Krishna consciousness like wildfire. And although Srila Prabhupada is very humble over here in the purport, he's not taking credit for it. He very much gave credit to the wonderful disciples he had. And there was one scholar, he was noting the Krishna consciousness movement, and he says, "Wow, the thing about Bhaktivedanta Swami was that the way he inspired his disciples, it was just like mind-blowing, like someone didn't even know anything, and he just inspired them to do it. Like he told Brahmananda, 'I've got this Bhagavad Gita, I want you to go and somehow publish it.' And Brahmananda was thinking, I just about read a book, what to speak of publishing a book. So if you read this account, how hard it was for him to try and get the Bhagavad Gita published, it wasn't easy at all. But some another, he wanted to do it for Prabhupada. Prabhupada was the anchor for everyone in these early days. And the devotees would shift mountains, literally, to do anything for Prabhupada. There was one devotee Prabhupada told, "Can you go to Germany and open a center?" And he did not hesitate. He'd never had any experience, but he just went one man on his own to Germany. His name is Sivananda Prabhu. And he somehow or another, by the sincere dedication he had, he managed to open a center in Germany. And there's so many wonderful examples. Then Mukunda Maharaj, he was after New York, he was going to go to California. And Prabhupada said in the passing air, well, Mukunda, if you can open a center, that would be very, very nice. Mukunda had no idea that he was going for that. He was just going to maybe just do something else. Then Prabhupada just dropped this idea, this inception in his mind. Then, lo and behold, he drove over to his friend's place, Shamashunda and Malati. And then somehow or another, when Prabhupada arrived in San Francisco, 50 devotees were there to greet him. And you can see a little video clipping. So this is the Krishna consciousness movement. It has like an amazing effect when you come in contact with it. It's like if you see like a fire, I think we were talking about this Australian fires. It was so hard to stop these fires. So at the beginning, this Krishna consciousness movement was spreading like wildfire. And devotees were doing amazing, amazing things. And they were empowered to do great, wonderful things. And if you read Chasing Rhinos, there's a reason why it's called Chasing Rhinos. Anyone know the reason why it's called Chasing Rhinos? Yeah. So Prabhupada always had big vision. That's what Shamashunda was saying. That to try and capture a rhino is quite ludicrous. But if you can capture it, wow, what a great guy, yeah? But if he doesn't catch it, well, you know, he tried at least. So Prabhupada always had this vision of getting something big. And then I was reading in this second edition that in 3 weeks' time, Srila Prabhupada, he inaugurated the cornerstone, Mayapur, Vrindavan, and Bombay, all within the span of 3 weeks. Boom, boom, bam. How quick that was. And this was the rate that Prabhupada was designed to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. And in the purport here, Prabhupada is saying that it's very, very important that we all stay within the association of the devotees. If we are connected with the devotees, then we can do great, wonderful things. There was a book distributor here many, many years ago. His name was Chaitanya Dave. So, Prabhuji, I don't want to embarrass you, Antaranga. When you go out, how many Bhagavad Gitas can you distribute? Sutapa Prabhu, on a good day, how many Bhagavad Gitas can you distribute? This devotee, without a shadow of doubt, he would distribute 100 Mahabhuik books every day. They were just flying out like the cakes yesterday at 4 o'clock Maha offering. Boom, boom, boom. Before you knew it, I came for seconds and God, they were gone, you know. Oh my God. So this devotee was just passing them out, you know. And literally, it was like amazing just to see this devotee distribute. He hardly talked, somehow or another. He had this charm. He was connected to the supreme potency of the Lord. And every day, without a shadow of doubt, he would distribute 100 Bhagavad Gitas. Unfortunately, as time would have it, he left the Krishna consciousness movement. And then many years, we met him. Then we asked him also, how are you doing? He said, oh, not so great. And then said, how are you supporting yourself? He said, well, I tried to do book distribution. And then he was saying that he tried to do books and he couldn't even distribute one book, he was saying. He found it that hard that he was the top book distributor. But because he was disconnected with the devotees, with the Krishna consciousness movement, he could not distribute one book whatsoever. So the moment you're connected, then you can do amazing things. There was one devotee over here. He had such shakti, such potency, that he even blew the kamis away. So this is a true story. So we had this philosophy, I think I told you one time before. We had this philosophy, if you saw a door, you just knock on it. God knows what's behind that door. And I won't tell you sometimes what was behind that door. But this one time, this devotee, he knocked on this door. And as he was going through this door, he opened the door and there was a round table. And there was about 10 people there, all dressed in very, very nice Italian suits, all nicely haircut with Brill cream and everything. And then everyone just like looked at him. And then the secretary came running and, "You're not meant to be here. You're not meant to be here. Get out, get out. You know, this is a private meeting." And then within a split second, this devotee said to the, "Where did you get your cheap suits from? Oxfam or something?" And they all started laughing. Because, you know, they heard all this one. And he just broke the ice. And before he knew it, just like an expert musician, like Janaki Nath with his cards, this devotee just talked, charmed his way through, and he put the Bhagavad Gita on everyone's, in front of them. They started reading and made a pitch. And then all the time, the chairman, he was looking, and his jaw just dropped to the ground. And the next thing he saw was all these people with the posh suits bringing out money and giving it to him. And he said, "Stop, stop." He said, "My business is to keep your money in your wallet. How is this man managing to get your money out?" Then he looked at the devotee, "Who are you?" Then he says, "I want you to work for my firm." And he looked at one of these guys, "You are fired. Get out." And he said, "You can move inside over here. I've never seen anything like it. My job is to keep this guy's money. You somehow or another managed to get the money out. How did you do it? I want you to work for my firm." And the devotee said, "No, the only firm I work for is the Krishna Consciousness Movement." And anyway, then he said, "Please, please take this card." And this devotee was saying, for 1 week, this guy was phoning him and phoning him and phoning him and asking him, "Please, please come and join my firm." And luckily, he wasn't tempted. So in this way, if you are connected, then wonderful things will happen. This devotee, the same devotee, on a Christmas marathon, he would go to sleep only for 2 or 3 days. He would go to sleep. Where would he go to sleep? I don't recommend it. He slept on the street lamp. Street lamp. And I think you were there that time. We were in Leicester. And then there was two devotees, our top book distributors. And he would distribute all night. And we said, "Oh, just go to sleep. There's going to be no one here." He said, "It's too much waste of a time. Go an hour, go to sleep, have your hot milk, and then get up in the morning. I'll just rather sleep on the street lamp." So this was like the way the devotees worked. And in this way, the Krishna Consciousness Movement spread really, really widely. So now we'll talk a little bit about Jahnavi Mata. I had so much more to say about that subject matter, but time is clicking on. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Inevitable time. So Jahnavi Mata, she is a great, great devotee in our Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage. Of course, everyone knows she is the wife of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Interesting to note, especially for the ladies, that after Lord Chaitanya had left, she was considered the head person that everyone would go and seek advice with. She more or less took over after Lord Chaitanya left. So after Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas, and he was in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Nityananda was there. And then Lord Chaitanya pulled Lord Nityananda to the side. He said, "Why are you a mendicant?" And sometimes people are a little bit reserved at mendicants, isn't it? When you see a mendicant, you go the other way because it might mean Sarva Dharma Parityaga Amamekam Saranam Vraja. As Prabhupada had that experience when he went to see Bhaktisiddhanta, Sarva Dharma. So sometimes when you see a mendicant, you go the other way, because then it might mean, oh, you have to give up your material desires. So then Lord Chaitanya said, you shouldn't be a mendicant. You shouldn't be a renunciate. People might be put off by this. You should be a householder. So then Lord Nityananda said, if this is your desire, then I'll become a householder. He said, yes, go and get married. So then he went back to Radhadesh, Godadesh, and there he was walking through the village, and he knocked one door, and the door opened, and he said to the man, I want to marry your daughter. Excuse me, come again? Don't you want some milk? Don't you want some little bit of kitchen? He said, nope, I want to marry your daughter. And he was like a little bit surprised. When you see a mendicant, you're normally giving some milk, you're giving some little bit of alms. Generally, they don't ask for daughters. It's not advisable. Mendicants, take note. So of course, the father wasn't too happy about this. So then he said, no, go away. So then he closed the door. Then Lord Nityananda said, okay, he was an avaduta. He said, no problem. He didn't make anything out of it. Then the daughter, Vasudha, wasn't it? She found out about it, and she's an eternal consort of Lord Nityananda. And she heard about this, and then she felt such separation from Nityananda that she passed away. And when the father found out about this, he didn't know what to do. Then the father's brother, Gauridas, came and said, you have to ask Lord Nityananda to come and ask him to save the life of your daughter. So then at this time, they were at the Jamuna, the river, trying to do the final rites. Then Lord Nityananda was invited to come. And then the father begged Lord Nityananda, please, please, please make my daughter come back to life. Then Lord Nityananda said, no, no problem. Only if you let me marry your daughter. Then he said, fine, I agree. Then at that moment, a wind came and the aroma from Lord Nityananda went over the body. And then she came back to life in front of everyone. Haribol. So then everyone was well surprised. Then a big wedding was arranged. And then Lord Nityananda, he stayed there. And then Lord Nityananda was being served prasadam. And sometimes it's customary that others, they come in the family to serve the guest or whoever is in the family invited. So then Vasudha had a younger sister named Janava. So she came to serve Lord Nityananda. And it is said that when Janava looked across at Lord Nityananda, then there was that moment, I don't know if you ever experienced, you kind of see, and for a few seconds you connect your eyes with the opposite. So you could do two things, just move along and don't think nothing of it. That's the best advice. The other thing is you might think, wow, we made a connection. Maybe there's something in here. And that's what Lord Nityananda thought. Yes, there was a connection over here. So from that connection, he asked the father, actually, I'd like to marry your other daughter as well. The father said, well, you got the first one, you know, you want the second one as well? So then, of course, the father saw the miracle, and then he said, yes, of course, no problem. Everything I have belongs to you. So the second marriage was arranged. Then Lord Nityananda, he married his second wife, Janavi Mata. So then, to seek the blessings of Vaishnavas, then Lord Nityananda, he went to Sachimata to seek the blessings. Sachimata was very, very happy. And for a few days, she cooked, much preparation. Then went to Shantipur and then took the blessings of Advaita Acharya. So in this way, Lord Nityananda, he would have his Namahata programs with the assistance of his two wonderful wives. Then in due course of time, Lord Chaitanya passed away. Then Lord Nityananda passed away. His first wife, whose name is? She passed away, and only Janava was left. And they had two daughters. Janava didn't have any children, but his co-wife had two children who were named. Anyone know? Virabhadra, and that the daughter's name was Ganga. That's right. So Virabhadra was very, very dear to Janava Mata. In fact, she gave initiation to Virabhadra. So it is allowed that the parents can give initiation. We see that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave initiation to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I said to my son, do you want to take initiation from me? He said, no ways, you must be joking. Anyway, so Virabhadra was initiated by Janavi Mata. And then she gave much training to Virabhadra. And then Janavi Mata, she was invited to the first Gopanim festival in Kaituri, which was arranged by Narottam Das Thakur and his wonderful associates. Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So after Lord Chaitanya left, there was a little bit of misunderstanding amongst the Vaishnavas, namely the devotees in Vrindavan and the devotees in Bengal. So sometimes there's some little bit of disagreement, just like sometimes you have the Punjabis and the Gujaratis at loggerheads, you know. So in this way, sometimes people have a little bit of disagreement. Then Janavi Mata, she brought everyone together under the one roof and made it one Gaudiya mission of Lord Chaitanya. And then after she leveled everything out, she traveled to Vrindavan. And it's explained that as she was traveling to Vrindavan, she was taking rest on the banks of the Ganga, and some dacoits saw her entourage over there. And dacoits, they're notorious for trying to steal traveling mendicants or traveling merchants. So then they thought that we will steal from this group over there. So then there was a little kind of a track that led to the banks of the Ganga. So these dacoits, they started going towards where Janavi Mata was. And they started walking and walking and walking. And no matter how much they walked, the path just kept on going and going and going. And this reminds me of one time me and Godruma, we were in Rameshwaram. And we were trying to get to Dhanushkoti. It was the place where Lord Ramachandra, he built the bridge. So it was one hot sunny day. We were walking and walking and walking. And we looked in the distance. There was miles and miles of beach sand. And when we looked back, and we had walked for about 2 miles. And it just kept on going on and on and on. And then I said, oh, I'm not walking anymore. Then I just went into the sea. Of course, the sea had a different idea. It took me and smashed me against the ground over there, and I got dragged all over the place. So in the same way, this kind of stretch of land just kept on going and going and going. All night they were just walking, trying to see if they can get to Janavi Mata. Then they realized, actually, this is not going to happen. So then they realized that she was somebody special. They went and said that we were going to try and rob you. Then they offered obeisances, and then Janavi Mata initiated them, and they became Vaishnavas. And then later on, as she traveled and preached, she went to Radha Kund. So some of you might have been to Radha Kund. Have anyone been to Radha Kund? The seat where Janavi Mata was. So this was the level of austerities. She would chant her round, and every round she chanted, she put one grain of rice to the side. And then every round she chanted, she put another grain. And by the end of finishing her rounds, whatever rice was collected, she would boil that, and that's what she would eat. You want to try that, ladies? Yeah. So then this was the level of austerity. It's a very, very special place. Then finally, she was in Vrindavan. And then she went to the Gopinath Deity in Vrindavan, the Gopinath Deity. And just like Lord Chaitanya disappeared into Tota Gopinath, then Janavi Mata, she also disappeared into the Gopinath Temple in Vrindavan. Got a few more minutes. I'm trying to keep track of my time. So that's Janavi Mata ki. She's a great inspiration in our life. And so I want to speak a little bit about Srimati Sita Devi, which is her appearance. Not all temples have the fortune of having the presence of Srimati Sita Devi. She looks extremely wonderful here today. And she is the consort of Lord Ramachandra. So Lord Ramachandra is the seventh incarnation in the Dashavatar. So what's interesting about the seventh incarnation? Anyone have any idea? What's interesting about the seventh incarnation? So if we've had six already, and now we're on the seventh one, what's interesting about that one? Anyone knows? Kodrama Prabhu? Human form, yep. Anyone else? Ladies? What's interesting about the seventh incarnation is that Lord asked Lakshmi, normally when I go and save the sadhus, kill the demons, then I come back to Vaikuntha to hang out with you. But this time, I want you to come with me to help and assist me. So this was something that the Lord asked Lakshmi Devi. So Lakshmi Devi said, yes, I'll be honored to assist you in whatever way you see befitting. Then she came down as Vedavati. Vedavati was a daughter of a great sage. And it is said that Vedavati performed severe austerities. And day and night she just meditated on Lord Vishnu. And she was performing meditation. And as she was meditation, Ravana was hovering on his Bhiman, on his chariot. And then he was struck by the beauty of Vedavati. So it is explained in the Ramayana, the beauty of Vedavati came because of her austerities. When you perform a certain austerity, you get something called tejas. You get some glow or something. And the glow of Vedavati was so powerful, it would bedazzle Ravana. Because it is explained, it was her hair was matted. She was wearing bark clothes. So appearance, she didn't have the best sari from Wembley. But it was her austerity that was the real beauty in her. And Ravana came down and said, why are you wasting your life over here? Come with me, I will make you my queen. And Vedavati said, my heart does not belong to you, it belongs to Vishnu. And then Ravana grabbed her hair, and then Vedavati with the hand cut the lock of hair and said, you have touched me, I have become contaminated. I have performed austerities, I will not lose my austerities by cursing you, but I will take birth and will be the cause of your destruction. And she performed sati and then self-destructed in the form of a fire. Then it is explained that Maharaj Janak, he was didn't have any child. So the ministers, particularly the Brahmins, advised that he has to do this special puja whereby he has these bulls and they go around and they plow the land. I'm not sure if they do it over here, but you have this bulls. They don't use tractors, but they plow the land. And the idea was you just perform the ceremony, and then each time the bulls came to some form of a rock or some kind of thing that stopped it, then Janaka Maharaj had to stop, worship the bulls and the cows and give in charity. And this was going on. Then he came across one particular spot where the bulls had stopped, and then he tried to clear the way, and there was a box over there, a golden box. And then this golden box, they opened, And there they saw the most amazing, beautiful little baby girl. So beautiful. And this was the consort of Lord Ramachandra. And the sages said, because this was obtained by the, you know, these things that they wear, the bulls, it's called a yoke in this English language, but in Sanskrit it's called Sita. So then they said we should name her Sita. So the name was given Sita because of the yoke which is on the bulls. Then she grew up in the palace. Then, as we know, the story of Sita, she married Lord Ramachandra. So everyone knows these different pastimes. I think everyone is familiar. But I wanted to tell one particular pastime that I heard directly from Mother Jamuna. So at one point, we lived in a place called Chaitanya College. And Mother Jamuna, she lived over there. And then in the evening, she would tell different pastimes of Prabhupada. And then one evening, she was telling this pastime. She was on a train with Prabhupada, and she was the cook, and she would cook for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was quite informal and tell different stories. Then they passed one particular place, was related to the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And he says, well, most people think Lord Ramachandra or Sita had how many children? Two. Prabhupada said, very few people know actually Sita only had one child. Love. So it's not well known. So Prabhupada explains that in the hermitage of Valmiki Rishi, that's where Sita was living under the care of Valmiki. So then Sita had given birth to one child named Love. So then Sita was going to the river to fetch some water. So then she turned to Valmiki Rishi and said, while I'm going to get some water, can you please kindly look after my son, Love? And then Maharishi said, yeah, no problem. So Sita went away. And then Maharishi was just studying his scriptures. And then as he was just absorbed in his sadhana, what comes along? What hangs around in the forest? Sorry? Tiger, yep, you can have tigers. What a cheeky, notorious, they really give you a hassle when you go to Loy Bazaar. Monkeys, yeah. The notorious monkeys forever causing mischief. So the monkeys, they came and they saw the baby. And they just picked it up and just went away with the baby. And then when Maharishi turned around to see if the baby was okay, noticed there was no baby. And he was a little bit, you know, surprised, to say the least. And in the distance, he could see Mother Sita coming back to the hermitage. Then he thought, oh my God, what am I going to do over here? Mother Sita's asked me to look after the child. I was a little bit negligent, and the child is gone. And he looked around, couldn't find the child anywhere. And then he was wondering what to do. And then Mother Sita was getting closer and closer. And there's nothing worse than a mother to know the child is not there or it's gone. So in a panic mode, where the cot was, the child was lying on some kusha grass. He picked up the kusha grass and he blew some air in it. And right before him manifested an identical child like Sita had. And he placed it in the cot. And he said, oh, she won't notice. Good trick to learn. And so then Mother Sita just came, picked up the baby, and just she didn't notice any difference. Then Valmiki thought, yeah, boom, yeah, no problem. But then a few moments later, as she was like, you know, playing with the child, she saw the monkeys on the trees. And she noticed the monkeys had the child. And then he looked in the hands. My child is here. The monkeys have got my child over there. What's going on? Really, really confused. Then she went to Valmiki and said, I don't understand. My son seems to be here, but my son also happens to be in my arms as well. And then Valmiki got caught out. Oh, God. So then he explained what happened. And then they managed to get the other child back. And then Sita was holding two babies now. One was love. And then Valmiki looked at the other one. Because this was made from Kush grass, we will name him what? Kush. Love and Kush. So this is a little bit of an unknown story, but this was the story that Prabhupada related to Mother Jamuna, who I heard firsthand many, many years ago. So there's so many stories. I mean, I can carry on telling wonderful stories. So in conclusion, I just wanted to say it's a wonderful opportunity for us to meditate on these two divine personalities. For the ladies, it is very, very inspiring that Janavi Mata, she broke the boundaries, what was the tradition, and she initiated, of course you have to be on that wonderful high level, and she became the head. And even though Jiva Goswami was there, he was the most erudite scholar, very, very advanced, but they placed Janavi Mata as the head, and anything that was unresolved, they went to Janavi Mata. So, if we have some chance, there's some very, very wonderful stories, loads of stories about Janavi Mata. We can all try and read up, and we can also read up a little bit about Mother Sita. We will stop here. Time's not on our side. If there's any comments, corrections, Maharaj.
Thank you, Prabhu. You're wonderful welcome. Class, as thank always.
You. Thank you.
You are the champion.
I don't know about that.
And it's also interesting that you mentioned Janava Mata entered into Gopinath Diti, and today is also Madhu Pandit Disappearance Day, and he was the one who established Gopinath Diti in Vrindavan. As we know, that three deities are the most important in Vrindavan, and these are Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath, in charge of three stages of devotional development, Sambhana, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And so the three acharyas who established them are really important, and these are Rupa and Sanatana Goswami and Madhu Pandit. And Janava Mata is also a first Diksha Guru in our tradition. So a issue of Vaishnavi Diksha Guru is pretty hot topic of the day in this country.
Potato.
So we have wonderful examples of that in our tradition. And she's not the only one, even though she was the first.
In South India, I think the Alavas also had many, many ladies who were also initiated. Yeah. Taruna Prabhu?
Something contradictory again. You mentioned about...
I wouldn't expect anything less from you.
Qualificational. Like I said, if a lady is very qualified, she can become guru. And then we often see that man is not really qualified, becomes guru. So what is that which makes lady qualified?
So if you can just repeat that again, the second part, like, if the man is not qualified?
Like you said, if his lady very qualified, she can become guru.
Yeah.
And then we see this our history also, that man is not so qualified, but somehow becomes guru by word, whatever. So what's that which makes lady to become qualified? And then how is that man becomes...
So, So Prabhuji is explaining how, you know, sometimes we're talking about qualification to become a guru. Some people are not qualified. So I think, as Maharaj saying, our understanding of, you know, how this diksha is passed on is not always crystal clear. And to try and understand it, it's not always easy with just, you know, our reason and logic. So, yeah, sometimes we might make some mistakes, as we've seen. We can't hide away. We can learn from those things. And the qualification Prabhupada would always say was whoever is most attached to Krishna is the qualification to become. So if they are mostly attached strongly to serve, then according to Prabhupada, then they can become qualified.
If lady surpasses emotional level or something, or she's not distracted by emotions, she can. But men could be very easily steady, not emotional, maybe. This is a factor or something.
Yeah, I mean, if they can surpass that, then they become dhira, very, very strong, very, very fixed.
Because, I don't know if there is any injunction spiritual for the woman, for example, to be a guru. There is no such a thing. But qualification itself kind of overtakes, so doesn't need to be scriptural injunctions if she's qualified, something like that.
Well, there's that Amaragya on my order, you know. And guru doesn't necessarily mean just diksha. We always have this connotation that guru means diksha. There's also siksha as well. So siksha is just as important. We seem to emphasize a lot on diksha, but you can just as well become a guru.
She was initiating?
By siksha. You can, in fact, the way the initiation was before was mainly just by siksha.
Yeah.
And you can become and be accepted as a disciple through
siksha. Janavi Mata was actually giving siksha, giving diksha.
Maharaj?
Well, Prabhupada makes very important comment in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that anyone who discriminates between diksha and shiksha guru is an offender. So yeah. We should not. And he explains that whoever the main shiksha guru of a devotee later becomes diksha guru. So the foundation is shiksha, and diksha is a formality, albeit important one. So yeah, that this kind of discrimination between diksha and shiksha is not a very proper thing.
Ian Prabhu?
Yes, Hare Krishna, thank you so much for your class. I just wanted to ask, in light of the wonderful class that you've given, and seeing that it's Sita Devi's appearance day, probably what meditation we can have as we do our services today in regards to Sita Devi and what we can ask from her and stuff.
So, as we was explaining Vedavati, who is Sita, her meditation was always Vishnu or Lord Ramachandra. It is explained that when she was in Ashoka Groves, when she was away from Lord Ramachandra, her saving grace was chanting Ram's name. So this is what we should take away. The name was what her saving grace was. If anything, today, then we can just take that away with us, that she was always constantly had Ram on her lips. And
yeah, Prabhupada also mentioned if there is an appearance day of any important personality, devotees can go directly to that important personality, you know, whether it is great Vaishnava or incarnation of the Supreme Lord or his Shakti, and we can ask their blessings directly. Because normally we are go through Guru Parampara, etc. But these are special days when we can get very powerful blessings.
And these days, they're like considered like they open up. There's no boundaries, like Maharaj is saying. It's like a sale day. Come and get the mercy. Come on. Yeah. Thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Shri Sita Devi ki jai, Shri Janava Mata ki jai, Shri Madhu Pandit ki jai, Nitya Gopremanandi. Amen.